Yeah, hey guys. Well, as you know, like my brother Snake from Music Trivia passed away a few weeks ago. Fucking stressy in there, guys. My old mate Woody Bush now on Podbeam as well, and a couple of other shenanigans in the background. So I just want to play a nice little song here from Dire Straits, and then we can kick this broadcast off. That's right, we can kick this broadcast off.
Fields of destruction, baptisms of fire. I've witnessed your suffering as the battle raged on.
To make one on my brother.
Okay.
Cooker restaurant quality butter
all
chicken.
All those things aside, let's see if we can kick off a broadcast. Tiptoe through the tulips, I guess. We can do this. We can do this. We can go right through the tulips and back. That's right. There's many, many avenues that we can go through. Many, many avenues. Let's rock and roll. Everything, guys. They're watching you. They are.
Ladies and gentlemen,
the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. But we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration, invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. But I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people. Confident that with your help...
I'm asking your help. Did you hear that? A president. What president would say that? I'm asking your help.
Man will be what he was born to be. Free and independent. Free and independent.
When you're ready to rise up, you'll rise up. All the power you need is in your hands.
Ask
now. Look around.
Your help here in this matter of affairs. Maybe under a constitution, a democratic republic, maybe. Who knows? But he's asking for your help.
Did you get it?
Did and get it, guys. Alright, let's go. Let's get into the file. Let's go into the file. Sit back, relax, enjoy the show.
This is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. It is the inventory and control plan. Inventory and control of all land, all water, all minerals, all plants, all animals, all construction, all means of production, all food, all energy, all information, and all human beings in the world. And this is a plan that was agreed to by 179 nations back in 1992. It's a United Nations plan. It's called the Agenda for the 21st Century. And so many of us around the world think that, sustainable development, it just sounds so great. Isn't it about recycling and creative reuse and creating energy and food resources for everyone? And the answer is no, it really is not. It's about moving populations into city centers, concentrated city centers, and clearing them out of the rural areas. All systems have to be brought into harmony in order to control them all. Because when systems don't meet, when they're out of balance or not in sync with one another, they can't be controlled centrally. And the goal of Agenda 21 is one world government and total control from a central unit. Every nation that signed on to Agenda 21 has its local Agenda 21 plan. And people in the United States are completely unaware of this. If I go out and talk about this, the United States press will attack me and calls me, which is totally ridiculous. But it's not a theory. It's a fact. The three pillars of United Nations Agenda 21 are economy, ecology, and equity, the three E's. And everyone sort of thinks that they know what that means, the idea of social equity. It must mean that, well, everyone's going to have access to clean water and clean air, and no one's property is going to be used as a dumping ground because they are at a poverty level. But really what social equity is about impoverishing huge portions of the population and bringing down the developed nations. Everything that we're looking at now is destined to collapse our economies. It's a totalitarian state being developed right now all over the world. And what major corporations want in this development is to be able to have full movement of workers without borders or boundaries, to be able to move their goods through without regulations, and to reduce wages. And so this is the goal. So this is what you find with social equity. And of course, economy and ecology is about, these are the three circles, economy, ecology, and social equity. And where they meet in the center is balance. But really that balance is a communitarian balance. So it's not balance of well-being of the people. What it is it's a balance for corporations so that they can exploit and control and have populations in an area, in tightly packed, dense areas, so that they can be surveilled and managed. And this is what that balance looks like as far as the development of a totalitarian state is. the mainstream media is owned by five major corporations, and you're not going to get this information from the mainstream press. So you need to be your own press. You need to educate yourself. You need to get out there and educate your neighbors, your community, your real community. You need to help your children understand that they're being indoctrinated from pre-kindergarten to postgraduate school. All of us have a responsibility to ourselves and to others. This is true community, to work for personal freedom. And always remember that even though we work as a group, if we do work as a group, we're all individuals in those groups, and we answer only to ourselves. And this is essential. It's essential as free human beings. This is what we are. We are free, and we need to continue to be free. And I do believe that we will win, but we have to become aware that there is a fight, and then make our friends and our neighbors and our community aware as well, and work together. This is a plan that was agreed to by...
That's right. We all need to work together. There's no doubt about it.
By 179 nations.
We have to get there. We have to get there at some stage. Now, here's what they're telling us about the corona, in part, ironically,
from the promotional material of the big telecom companies themselves. Here it says, 60 gigahertz has a very distinct impact on none other than oxygen itself. Yes, here are the articles released by companies who are touting the benefits of 60 gigahertz. They openly admit that 60 gigahertz is absorbable by oxygen. You can see in this graph here, its impact on oxygen. All the frequencies before 60 gig are non-impacted. Then once it hits that frequency, it spikes and becomes hugely absorbed by oxygen. Now, in this article by the company selling products that are going to run on 60 gig, they say that it's going to help its interference levels. Aw, isn't that nice? They don't want your first shooter video games to lag. And most of us know from mainstream releases promoting FIVEG that things like water and trees are going to get in the way of this frequency. So how in the world does this even make sense that we are using it? Unless their intentions are something else besides faster speeds. Anyway, knowing that this frequency impacts oxygen, now...
What I'd like to know is, where's my fastest speeds at the moment? Everything's gone lower as far as I'm concerned. I used to send multi-things nearly 20 years ago, I reckon, that were freaking bigger packets than these shit that you have to go through certain apps or be in a certain bloody broadcast thing to bloody send it. It's freaking unbelievable. Anyway, she goes on for quite a bit, but I'll play her for two more minutes. She says it all anyway.
Does it make sense to you how possibly when you mess with the absorption of oxygen in the human body? Let me give you one guess which organ is going to suffer first. The way that the 60 gigahertz impacts oxygen is this. Oxygen, the atom, is O. Oxygen, the molecule, is O2, two atoms together. Now, these two atoms creating the oxygen molecule are sharing some electrons. 60 gigahertz causes the electrons surrounding oxygen molecules to spin, right? Somewhat akin to how high-powered microwaves running on 2.4 are impacting molecules in foods such as water. They're heating in part by impacting those molecules to rotate or oscillate with each wave. The movement energy from the rotation of the super tiny water molecules is actually helping to heat the rest of the food. So in a similar way that 2.4 causes H2O to oscillate, 60 gigahertz, even at lower powers, is causing the electrons on oxygen molecules to spin. And as you might imagine, changes to the spin frequencies on oxygen electrons can have impacts on human biology. When you breathe in, the reason that breathing air into your lungs gets oxygen into your blood and therefore important places like your brain is because the oxygen entering into your lungs gets picked up by a very important iron-containing protein called hemoglobin in your blood. But the unfortunate impact of oxygen molecules spinning the electrons is that it makes the hemoglobin unable to uptake the oxygen and get it to the rest of your body. Now, this info was taken from a textbook called Magnetobiology, Underlying Physical Problems. But even beyond this, isn't the fact that the telecom companies are admitting that 60 gigahertz is absorbable by oxygen just stunning information? And shouldn't the fact that 60 gigahertz even fundamentally interacts with oxygen, the most abundant and arguably most important element to all of biological life, be headline news that stops everything until we deeply test the implications of that? If you believe that they must have already tested 60 gigahertz for health and safety, please listen very carefully to what Big Telecom admits when they were asked that very question.
5G, as you well know, also uses higher frequency waves that don't travel as far and will rely on a network of hundreds of thousands, potentially millions of small cell sites. And the question then is, are there any health implications, any public safety implications? So my question for you, particularly Mr. Gillen and Mr. Perry.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you for your focus on the issue. Safety is paramount, and as you alluded to, we rely on the expert agencies, rely on the findings of the FDA and others as to the requirements to keep all of us safe. There are no industry-backed studies, to my knowledge, right now. Happy to visit with you as to what opportunities you think there needs to be more studies, and we're always for more science. We also rely on what the scientists tell us.
So essentially, the answer to my question, how much money? Zero.
I can only follow up with you, Senator. To my knowledge, there's no active studies being backed by industry today.
Anybody else know of industry commitments to back research, fund it, support it, to ascertain scientifically the health effect?
No, I'm not aware of any.
So there really is no research ongoing. We're kind of flying blind here so far as health and safety is concerned. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is this all starting to make sense? What they are calling the CV is acute respiratory disease. And while you can't believe 100% anything coming out of China, it seems to me there were enough leaks of people suddenly falling over in the streets that the CH government doesn't want people talking about or sharing, with no other apparent illness. Guys, listen, CV is not new, okay? It's a cold, it's a flu. That's why it says on the side of hand sanitizers like Purell and the side of a can of Lysol that it kills it. It's common enough to be listed on the most common disinfectants. But now the CH government is admitting that people can have virtually no symptoms and suddenly fall over? No symptoms? But then they can still have it? What is it? Lack of oxygen can do that too, right? I mean, let's use common sense here. What happens to you when you have the flu, right? You start to feel bad, achy, you call in sick, you don't want to go outside, you go to lay down in bed, mama brings you some chicken noodle soup, right? Are you just bopping around fully clothed, doing normal things, and fall over? If your lungs are not able to put oxygen in your blood, how long would it take you to fall over? Not long. Okay, not long. So,
Very interesting. There's no doubt about it. But now they're getting the problem with about 21 million. I think that's come up with about the roundabout number that's getting around of cases that have passed away. So imagine the people that are actually having adverse reactions. It's probably in the hundreds of millions, maybe a billion people that have had adverse reactions to what they published at the very beginning, an experimental injection. So it doesn't really take rocket science to really work out that there's going to be a problem, Houston. You know, it's not like you really got to go into much law studies or any of these other aspects to really work out that something's not right here, you know. It's really, really weird. It's a little good remedy with dandelion.
Sick people, not healthy people. Heart medicine, dandelions, and Roundup. That sounds crazy, right? But you know what? They all fit together like a puzzle. You know why? Those little yellow dandelions that grow in your yard that they tell you to hate, they're terrible. They're actually the greatest thing on the earth for your heart. The enzymes and the electrolytes can literally cleanse and strengthen your heart valves and muscles more than anything else, and it's natural and free. The crazy thing is, the same company that owns the heart medicine, that is the highest sold heart medicine in the entire world, that makes hundreds of millions of dollars a year, is the same exact company that owns Roundup. Yeah.
Pretty scary stuff, guys, when you think about it. Hey, welcome to the room. Luke, good to see you, old mate. Yeah, I just went through some dandelion, and you can make it, you know, quite easily with some oils and stuff. Yeah, or you can just eat the bloody thing. I just picked the plant. I haven't had the root, but, I'll have the flower. Yeah, I'll just go out in the garden while I'm doing things. But there's a simple clove tea that kills bacteria as well, and it's good for your mouth. It expels mucus from the lungs and supports heaps of, like, immune stuff. It's, there's a recipe. Let me see if I can come across it here. Yeah, this is a pretty good recipe. It's half an inch of ginger, one cinnamon stick, and half a teaspoon of cloves into 3 cups of boiling water. Put down to medium boil and steep for 5 minutes. Strain and allow it to cool. Add honey optionally if you like, and enjoy. This is a simple clove tea that kills bacteria in mouth, expels mucus from the lungs, and supports immune systems. Yep. Cloves are very underestimated, guys. Have a listen to this about magnesium.
There's a big reason why I recommend magnesium glycinate for anxiety and stress. Number one, when you consume them, they split off into magnesium and glycinate. Glycinate is a protein that's connected to magnesium, and glycinate on its own can help you sleep better. It can help you feel calmer. It can help you make glutathione, which can help you detoxify and feel less toxic. But the combination is pretty powerful because it can help you reduce adrenaline and cortisol to pull you out of that stress state. Also, taking it before bed can help you absorb vitamin D, because magnesium is a requirement for vitamin D absorption. And vitamin D also helps people sleep as well. Because magnesium relaxes your muscles, you may just find that your blood pressure is a little bit less, you have less cramping, and you can drift off into a wonderful sleep. So anything green is going to have magnesium. And I'm talking about leafy green vegetables, because magnesium is the heart of chlorophyll. There's a big reason why I recommend...
Yeah, magnesium is probably one of my biggest intakes, apart from mushroom powders and things like that, is that I usually have a mushroom powder more with moringa. I think moringa is an amazing, not talked about much plant. And so I just put it in some juice and just shake the bloody bottle around and drink the bloody thing. Put about a cup, maybe 2 cups of juice. Well, there, it's already in the bottle. And then I just add my 4 or 5 spoons of mushroom blend, powdered, and moringa. But some protocols, instead of a fizzy drink, you'd be surprised, magnesium powder. I'd never found something good with magnesium. Tablets. Because those hard tablets and that, no, I don't enjoy that at all. I don't think that they work. I just think it's just in and out. There's something wrong with them as far as I'm concerned. I might be wrong. I might be completely wrong. But I think magnesium powder is the best. You can get a nice orange one That makes a nice soft drink if you want to have a bit of water with a spoonful or and a half of magnesium. But if you want to go to the shitter and you got constipation, have a magnesium powder. And that'll do the dupe de bloody do. There's no doubt about that. You know, you'll have some dupe de doos going very quickly. It'll open up the abdomen and all these other aspects that go down to the colon and that's why magnesium's a little bit sus how you have it. You know, I usually find a level teaspoon is really good, and that's about it. After that, well, then it gets a little bit rushed, if you know what I mean. So you got to watch magnesium powder. That's the only problem. But a lot of Americans are actually,
according to Mosaic law,
a lot of Americans are lacking magnesium, so it's a very important supplement to have as an American. That's right. What we're going to do now, because we're at the 30-minute mark, and I'm going to try and keep my shows down a little bit lower. Hello, welcome to the room. Hey, how you going, all? Welcome to the room. I'm going to play this for probably the next 2.5 minutes. I'll just quickly see what's on next in my lineup. And then, I'm going to try and take it out to the hour tonight and try and do that. 2 hours is way too long, guys. 2 hours is way too long.
Burning the ashes of a red heifer is a mandatory act for beginning the temple offering to God. The ashes of the red heifer is a key element in a biblically mandated purification ritual. These ashes are required for purification in a range of situations, including contact with dead bodies. Numbers chapter 19. Now, with all the bloodshed on the Temple Mount down through the centuries, the mount itself must be cleansed before the temple can be built. According to the Torah, Moses prepared the first red heifer, and from that time until the destruction of the temple, only 9 heifers were prepared. There has been no proper red heifer in Israel for the past 2,000 years. The difficulties of finding red heifers anywhere is that they are not only rare, but the animal must meet the requirements as stipulated in the Torah and in the Oral Talmud. The 5 main criteria for establishing the proper red heifer for the holy purpose of purification are: it should be completely red with no spot or blemish. Actually, the heifer can have no more than 2 non-red hairs, and the hooves also must be red. It must be a female. Heifers are female. It must never have been used for labor. It must never have been pregnant, and it must be between 3 to 4 years old. In Judaism, this prophecy signals the coming of a time that includes the return of biblical laws of purity, thus allowing for truly holy life.
It sounds a little bit like a heifer cult, guys. This is getting a little bit scary, man. All right, as long as you've tucked your kids away for bed, I think we should be able to continue this broadcast.
For evangelical Christians, it heralds the end of days, the return of Jesus to earth, and the rapture. This belief has long driven Christian Zionism and Christian lobbying on behalf of Israel. In September 2022, through a joint effort established between a Christian ministry and the Temple Institute in Jerusalem, 5 red heifers from Texas were transported to Jerusalem and now graze at a secure, undisclosed location in the Israeli-occupied West Bank.
Well, the red heifer is coming.
One, now, this is not a 737.
Before I go on this broadcast, is I'm going to play the... this is the Boeing thing that's been getting around. He's a 62-year-old. He's a bit of a whistleblower, I guess you could call it. Yeah, John, Bennett. Barrett, Nate. No, Bennett. Yep. He was found dead, guys, man, in his truck freaking after the, didn't show up to the bloody legal interview. Linked to a case about bloody Boeing 7. Very, very weird shit. I think I might find something on him here. What do we got? Barrett accused Boeing of deliberately fitting substandard parts on their aircrafts, and it goes on. Anyone that's been into this situation would understand the whole thing. Hey, Lou, how you doing? Mr. Rock, hello, my friends. Welcome to the broadcast. So anyone can dig a little bit deeper in this, but this is, I think, his last talk about it, and then he went, yippee-ki-yay, mofo, and that's it, and I'm going to do an outro, and we're going to have some happy days, all right?
Enjoy. Oh, it's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in, and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane, as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection of steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787, because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. And what that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed engineering intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was going to take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
Hmm. Says a lot, doesn't it? Says a lot. All right, guys. Well, I'm going to shut this one down and I'll do something. Well, I hope you got something out of that. Yeah, I'm going to keep it short and sweet from now on, not so long, you know, hour at the max. That's it. Yeah, let's take it out. I don't know what with it at the moment. I don't know. All right, let's do something a little bit different on my outtake. Let's do a little bit of this. Take care, all. I'll catch us all on the next
episode. And then they said,
no thanks.
That's I'll catch right. You all on the next episode.
It's been 7 hours and 50 days since you took your love away. I'm
L'Oreal Paris presents True Much Tinted Serum, now with microepidermic hyaluronic acid for radiant skin.
Shivers up my spine.
Coca-Cola. Yeah.